Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, I absolutely love working on outdoor projects. Whether it's mowing the lawn or splitting logs or even just building a fire, I always enjoy these things. So imagine my inexpressible joy when I, as a lowly second-year seminarian, as well as with a couple other lowly seminarians, had the privilege of helping out President Meyer with his outdoor paver stone patio project in the back of House 1. So there we were, it was a nice summer day, and we were working on this patio, working from the outer edges on in. And this was going quite well until we got to the center row. That center row was a tough fit for those stones, you see, but using a sledgehammer, I gently but forcibly tapped those stones in. And this worked until we got to the last stone. I turned it left and I turned it right and I turned it upside down, trying to get it to work, but it just wouldn't go. So Dr. Meyer chimed in.
Toss that one aside, Ryder. Find one that fits the pattern.
All right. And so I did. I tossed that one aside, and I tried to find another one that would work to fit the pattern. But no matter which one I tried, none of them would fit the pattern. Paul's message for us this morning is about something else that didn't fit the pattern. We know well of some of the problems that were going on in the Corinthian church. Sexual immorality, divisions, lawsuits, abuses of the Lord's Supper, to name a few. But our text for this morning focuses on another problem embedding itself in the Corinthian church. You see, Corinth was this thriving commercial hub about 40 miles west of Athens. But as a thriving commercial hub, Corinth did not enjoy the reputation for learning and for wisdom and philosophy that Athens did. However, that Athenian wisdom still kind of permeated the Corinthian culture at times, and even convinced some of the Corinthian Christians at times that they were too smart for ordinary Christianity. They wanted something that challenged their minds, and they wanted to boast in the wisdom that they had discovered to their pagan neighbors so that they could increase in their standing among them. You see, at times, Jesus Christ and his cross and his resurrection didn't fit their pattern. Now, here at Concordia Seminary, we're all about Jesus Christ. Grace alone, grace in his Son. That's our theme for this year, and really that's our theme every year, because we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, and he has fit himself into the center of our lives by baptism. He's strengthened us by his Spirit through the Word and through the sacraments, and he's encouraged us through our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ has broken our pattern of sin and death and replaced it with his patterns of forgiveness and life. And yet, we still live in this world whose wisdom is constantly telling us to toss Jesus to the rubble heap. And when you live in a world that constantly tells you to toss Jesus to the rubble heap, you're going to be tempted to toss him as well. Just consider some of these patterns of worldly wisdom that were common both in the Corinthians' day and in our day. Take health, for instance. I don't know if you've noticed, but it seems like since we're in the middle of winter that a lot of people are getting sick. Now, I hate being sick, and I especially hate being sick because it interferes with what I want to do with my life. And so I try to do everything right. I try to take my vitamins. I try to get enough sleep. I try to eat a balanced diet sometimes. I try to wash my hands. I try to minimize my stress. I try to do all these things that are wise and healthy living. And yet, it sometimes happens. All of a sudden, I get a stomach ache, and all of my plans are in doubt. And so it goes up, Lord, just help me to feel better so that I can get through this sermon and preach it well at the seminary. Or how about another one? Wealth. We're now well into the new year, which means we have all approached one of our favorite pastimes, doing our taxes. Maybe you've seen the H&R Block commercial that talks about not just getting your taxes done, but getting your taxes won. Sounds great. But it's possible that in a few months, after all the paperwork is entered and after you've done everything that you needed to do, that you're not going to get as much of a refund as you thought. A little extra money could make my life a little bit easier, Lord. Or how about one more? Status. As we know, we have the privilege of attending a great seminary here at Concordia Seminary, the very best, as Dr. Veltz would say. And we have this privilege of being at this seminary, and we're quickly approaching the day of the academic year, call day, where many students will find out where they're going to be going on vicarage, and where many concluding students will be finding out where they will be placed for the first time. Now, right now, we're in the middle of interview season, and we all know that we're brothers and sisters who are going into the ministry together, and yet at times during this interview season, there can be, a competitive spirit amongst some of us. That's a nice way of saying jealousy, by the way, over who has more interviews, or who did better at a particular interview, or really who ultimately gets the better call. And so that's what happens. Lord, I can't believe it. He has 7 interviews and I haven't even had one. Just keep me healthy. Just make me wealthy. Just give me more status than all of my peers. I confess are too often my prayer. A prayer where I make God a God who's only there to make my life comfortable and convenient, grand and glorious, rather than being the Lord of my life. I want to show strength. I want to show wisdom. I want to show that I'm high and mighty, and yet Paul's words put me in my place. Consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. It's in moments like this where my prayer needs to be, and yours too, that of Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way within me. And lead me in the way everlasting. And my friends, he does. He searches you. He knows you. He does see the grievous ways in you, but he leads you in the way everlasting. As Paul writes, because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who has become to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I want to go back to that patio. How did we resolve the issue of the stone that didn't fit? Well, leave it to Dr. Meyer. Toss that one aside, writer, and break the pattern. It'll be better off and easier to fix. And so I did. I broke the pattern that I so desperately wanted to follow, and that section of the patio was much better off for it. And friends, how true that is with Jesus Christ in our lives. The very foolishness of God who broke the Corinthians pattern of despising the way of the cross and clinging to worldly wisdom. The foolishness of God that breaks our patterns of despising God and his word. And the foolishness of God that gives us his Holy Spirit so that we can be bold in our boasting, saying, fit, Lord, and get the worldly wisdom out of the way. Fit into my hardened heart and break me of my deep, dark, sinful patterns. Fit when I don't want you there. Fit when my expectations are not yours. Fit with your foolish cross that the world so despises. And fit with your glorious resurrection. Fit so that every day I may boast in your name alone. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in this Christ Jesus, the wisdom of God, the weakness of God, and even the foolishness of God. Amen.